What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, it's Friday. It is always a great day because it's Friday, just in general. Fact that it's nice and cool. We got this great stretch of weather. We're enjoying false fall, as, of course, our chief meteorologist loves to call it, Dave Murray. I think that's what he termed it, because you know some more heat is coming. Just a matter of time. It's going to be in the mid-80s today. That's hot enough for me. I'm sorry. I don't know about you. But we're hoping you have a great weekend and some big football games this weekend. Dan Buck, who's not here today, is not here because he's in Columbus, Ohio. He got to play the Memorial Golf Course yesterday. Dude's got some connections. And then he's got tickets to the Ohio State-Texas game tomorrow, which is going to be one of the several most watched games in the country for sure. So, what's that?
It's a by me.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to the camper and have good enough reception that I don't have Starlink. I'm going to have to hope I can get local TV enough to watch that.
Yeah, my friend's going to try to hotspot his phone.
Oh,
okay. Because I'm not sure we're going to have great reception down there either.
Could be a problem. Well, whatever you're doing this weekend, good luck to you. Coming up, we are going to get to the Chiefs. Greg Brown, Mike Wiegand are here. We have our drawing, as we do every week on Friday mornings, for the Queen of Hearts drawing. Benefits Guns and Hoses. Tickets are already on sale for that coming up around the Thanksgiving Eve. If you have forgotten when that is, you can get your tickets now, and then you will, of course, see me there, because we are one of the official radio partner of Guns and Hoses this year, and I'm going to play some role. I don't know what it is. I know I will not be a ring girl. I can guarantee you that. No, I can guarantee you that. But I will get to be down there and play some role and help out this year, and I'm just thrilled about that, because I've been a big fan and I've been going down there and watching for many, many years. I will not be in the ring boxing. I've made that mistake before. But we'll have our drawing, which we do weekly, which benefits Guns and Hoses here shortly. So stay tuned for that. They also brought food. So if you hear Ethan and I salivating a little bit, it's because it's already in the studio and we can smell it.
We are waiting.
And I've already had a bite. I cheated in the commercial. We're also going to talk to Trey Gowdy coming up here in a few minutes. He's got a new book out. He's doing a little bit of a media tour on that. But, of course, we'll talk to him about the news of the day. He made some comments earlier this week that set off the folks at Gun Owners of America. So we'll ask him about that when it comes to if he's actually endorsing gun control of some sort. We'll have our chance to get to Trey Gowdy here at the bottom of the hour at about 8:35, I think, is when that's going to happen. Right now, let's get to our top stories, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And so we're going to have a conversation of freedom versus protecting children. I mean,
Yep, there he is. Freedom versus protecting children. The protecting children part of that, we have to ask the former congressman and Fox News host exactly what he's getting at.
I make a Governor Newsom that you said he's mimicking Donald Trump, and I think it's exactly right. The lesson of Donald Trump, the lesson of President Trump in American politics, is you've got to be authentic to yourself.
Yeah, you can't mimic the king, is what the vice president said there yesterday. Good luck, Gavin Newsom.
Minnesota, we have strong gun laws, but Indiana is not that far away from us.
You can't fix stupid. Please take that to heart. Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, who's, you know, would love to ban guns. How's that worked out in her home country? And now she's trying to claim that this kid traveled to a nearby state and bought guns. Well, of course he didn't. He was a Minnesota resident. You can't go to another state and buy a gun without going through a transfer and all of that stuff. Again, that's not what happened here, but that's the kind of nonsense she's spewing on TV.
The single greatest abuse of voting
in any democracy in the world today is the Democrat Party's policy of mass anonymous unverified mail-in ballots.
Thank you, Stephen Miller, a huge voice of reason for the administration, and love the fact that this guy gets national media attention now because he needs to. Remember, the president signed the executive order. He wants to stop mail-in ballots. Oh, the left is screaming, how can you do that? You're suppressing the vote, blah, 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 blah. You need to have control over these things. Like, you need to have them notarized. There needs to be some chain of custody so you know that the person who filled that out is actually the voter and not somebody pressuring the voter in a nursing home to order an absentee ballot and vote how that person wants them to vote. There's none of that. And in the state of California, I got to be quite honest, it's even worse. Miller went on to kind of describe how they have affected the system with the ballots in California. Go to cut to the full cut on 18, please.
The single greatest abuse of voting in any democracy in the world today is the Democrat Party's policy of mass anonymous unverified mail-in ballots. I mean, just think about this for a second. Anyone in California can drop off a ballot where they don't verify the citizenship of who submits it, the residency, the age, the criminal history, the eligibility, or the signature. Completely anonymous vote by mail. Voting by cell phone would be vastly more secure than a system of tens of millions of unverified, unsolicited, unregistered mail-in ballots with no identity verification, including, of course, no citizenship verification.
Yeah. Are you amazed to learn that that's what's been going on in California? Because the liberals would do that in every state if they could. And again, what is the secret here? What's the, you know, remember when you were accused of being a racist if you were opposed to open borders, right? It was the replacement theory that they trotted out, that you're just afraid that you're going to be replaced as the majority in this country. That may happen because our birth rates are so low. It shouldn't happen because our border's wide open. But what they're trying to do is pack their congressional districts with bodies and then count those bodies in the census. And listen to what Miller talks about on how the Democrats have used this to their advantage to cheat the congressional numbers. Go to cut 17, please.
California has outright stolen House seats just by counting illegal aliens in the census. There are entire members of Congress from California whose districts only exist because their constituents are illegal aliens. You'll never find an example of a more direct theft of American franchise and civil rights than creating Democrat House seats comprised of illegal alien constituents.
So you start by, you know, transporting a bunch of them back out of the country, deporting them. It's not, you start with the criminals, but you're going to have to get to the rest. There's just no doubt about it. If they don't have a good reason for being here and can't make a compelling argument as to why they should stay, they've got to be gotten rid of. The next step is changing that questionnaire on the census to whether or not you're legal or not in this country. You should not be counted in the census if you're not here as a legal citizen of the United States. That's so common sense. I don't know how anybody could argue about it. But it needs to be the next step this administration takes, so that coming into the next census, those questions are already printed on the ballot and we can stop the steal. That's how you stop the steal, right there. Deport the illegals and make sure they're not counted in the next election. The Democrats will automatically lose maybe 4 or 5 seats just in California, potentially. So we'll see how that goes for them. Coming up, we will get to our Queen of Hearts drawing. Stay tuned for that. We're going to get to our winner this week. We'll talk to former Chiefs Greg Brown and Mike Wiegand, who are in studio representing the fine folks from Guns and Hoses. That's all straight ahead. And then Trey Gowdy, former congressman at the bottom.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The Hour.
All right, we pick a winner every Friday morning at 8:20, and we get to announce that here. We've got Greg Brown, Mike Wiegand in here, a former fire and police chief down in the city of Eureka. But it's still hard at work for Guns N' Hoses.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us down, and thanks for being our partner for Guns N' Hoses.
We are glad to do that. Thank you for the bourbon, Chief Brown.
You are welcome.
I appreciate
sir.
That. Look at this. I'm modeling this for the camera here. What a guy. Like, he texted me the other day. He's at some fundraiser. He's like, what do you think this basket's worth at this charity fundraiser I'm at? I'm like, well, I'd probably pick that first basket and not the second one, and I'd guess this is probably what those bottles are worth. And lo and behold, you must have purchased that basket.
I did. I was the winner. It was for the Special Forces Casualty Fund.
Yeah.
And I was the winner of that basket, and I know who to contact as the bourbon aficionado.
So I got a nice bottle of Penelope Wheated, and that will be a nice that'll be nice to go right alongside of that great bottle of Penelope that my friend Karen sent me from Red Door. Mm-hmm. the last time, which is fantastic, by the way. So thank you to her. A little shout out to Red Door down there in Eureka.
There you go.
Woo, love awesome that stuff.
Place.
All right. So the winner today is Eight of Spades in slot number 38, if you are playing along here with us on the Queen of Hearts. Now, that means that nobody got the Queen of Hearts. The jackpot is approaching $4,500 and growing. And if anybody gets the Queen of Hearts, they're going to get half of that, and the other half is going to go straight to Guns N' Hoses. So you need to get on and buy your tickets. It's really easy. You go to stlgunsandhoses.com, and you will see the right in the middle of the page, Queen of Hearts raffle. You buy the tickets for $5 a piece, or you get five. You buy five, you get one free for the Queen of Hearts raffle, and all the money is going into the jackpot. And then if you get the Queen of Hearts that gets drawn, you it's a 50-50, basically. You get half of you get half the pot, and the rest, and they're doing this every week this year. The rest of it goes to Guns N' Hoses.
Absolutely, and a great great benefit. And, you know, now, with the weather getting cooler, it's getting closer to Guns N' Hoses the night before Thanksgiving here at the downtown
at
the Enterprise Center.
It's always
You're
going
to be there.
I'm going to be there, and I said I don't know what all my job's going to do. Steve Hawley said he was going to call me and tell me what they had figured out for me. But somebody's suggesting here that I could decide I was a ring girl. Like, if I just woke up and decided that I was feeling like a ring girl that day, maybe I get to parade around in a bathing suit.
That's not a visual image that I need. Thank you.
Ring girls. Yeah. Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that.
They're going to want to see Julie Tristan or whoever else is down there doing some of the announcing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's going to be the most fun you've ever had on the night before Thanksgiving in St. Louis, guaranteed.
It's packed all the time. It's a party. It is definitely a party.
Oh, yeah. And it starts before the show. You can get tickets to the hoedown before the showdown. And that's a great time. And then all through the event, we've got fights before TV time. And then we got TV time starting at, I think, at 6:30.
And, on Channel 2.
On Channel 2.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great.
Great, great bounce. Mike, you're being very quiet over there this
morning. Well, you know, Greg's doing a great job of telling us what we've done. You know, we've been very busy the last couple of weeks, Greg and I, participating in events throughout the St. Louis area, and we just came off of Backstopper Palooza out of Chesterfield over the weekend.
Yeah.
It was a lot of folks there, and probably raised a lot of money.
Backstopper Palooza.
Yeah, it's been an annual event since 2013 at Chesterfield Amphitheater.
I wish they would have told me. I'd have been glad to give them a little bit of publicity for that.
It was a great event.
Yeah.
And we'll be over at Eckert's, I think, on the 13th of September.
13th of September.
From about
10
o'clock until about 6 p.m., I think.
Yeah, and September the 27th, we're going down to Jackson, Missouri for the Jackson Backyard Barbecue, which is another big fundraiser.
Raises money. I mean, all these people, it really takes a village. All these individual groups get together and do hold events like that, and then all the money
goes to Guns and Hoses or directly to Backstoppers, one of the two, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it's all to take care of the 95 families that the Backstoppers are taking care of right now, 75 dependent children, and they take care of whatever's needed.
I remember Colonel O'Toole giving me the dollar figure of what their outlay is every year.
I think it's right at 3.2 or 3.3 million.
Wow.
Every year.
So you got that's why the fundraising is so important. And every year for the past few years, $1 million has been raised by Guns and Hoses.
4 years in a row.
Wow. Yes. That's fantastic.
It's amazing. Amazing group, amazing organization.
Well, I would joke that it's the safest night in downtown because
that's correct. That's true.
Every first responder in town is downtown.
Absolutely. I even wear a gun.
Exactly.
Just so I would know.
Yeah, but you get to
it's
show your badge
pistol.
and get to
that's
walk
right.
around
I'm
security.
Sorry.
I'm just saying
right.
that
yeah. That's right.
That's always the advantage.
It's a scary thing with me with a gun.
Yeah.
Well, which badge are you showing them these days? Ellisville or
Ellisville's
Eureka?
Badge,
okay.
Yes,
all right. That's
yeah.
nice.
Great place.
It is a great place. You're working out there with Tim Fitch as well, aren't you?
I am, Chief Fitch, and I work together a lot of times doing different things, but he's on a separate path doing some evidence things, and I'm doing some administrative things.
That's Steve Lewis, the chief out there, just surrounds himself with good people, doesn't he?
I guess.
Take some of the pressure. Take some of the pressure off of him.
You know, Steve Lewis does need to surround himself with good people.
Well, again, a shout out to Chicken Ellie's because I know Jen and the folks down there fixed us up with some food this morning. Biscuits and gravy. There's a breakfast pizza over there, which I can't wait to try in a few minutes. How are they doing down there? Because I know we went down for that fundraiser that they had for Jen's son.
He's doing better.
Good.
He's still got some more surgery. Still got a ways to go, but he's doing better, getting around.
He was in a horrible car accident.
Terrible car wreck, yeah.
He's still recovering. He's got a long way to go. The community kind of wrapped their arms around him and held a fundraiser with raffle items. I got a bottle of bourbon there that day as a raffle
imagine
item.
That.
Imagine that. I didn't win any of the other, like the meat, the raffle, all that stuff I got into. So
meat raffle, gun raffle.
I figured that's because Bo Matthews was involved in that, and that's I never win a raffle that Bo Matthews
True
is involved
that.
In.
Don't
True
feel
that.
Bad. I know when I buy my ticket from Bo, it goes in the trash.
Well, just a reminder, I'm assuming you will both be down there for our live broadcast on the 11th. Are you in
I
town?
Will be. Yes,
okay.
Yes. I will be in town.
And I may be doing a medical procedure, so I may not miss it.
Oh.
I may have to miss
oh,
it that day.
Well, I hope not. But 9/11, we will be in downtown Eureka, just outside of Chicken Ellie's. They've got a outdoor porch there. Normally is where we would set up. I know they're going to have a lot of activities down there. You'll be able to come down. They were trying to figure out a way to put the truck, the ladder truck with the American flag, maybe in the parking lot next door.
Chief Barfness has got that worked out.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Good.
I believe so.
So we're doing it to support the Focus Marine Foundation, great group that reaches out to all members of the military, all branches, and make sure they transition back from military service into civilian service. That is a struggle. There are far too many suicides in this country every year from former members of our military, and those guys do a great job. So we'll be doing this to benefit them. You can show up for the live broadcast. There'll be ways to donate to Focus Marine Foundation, and of course, you can get some fantastic breakfast food. Ask for the Greg Brown special. I'm not sure what you're getting when you order that at Chicken Ellie's.
It's just
but
good.
It's always a surprise. It's just good.
Order what you want and get eat what you get. That's the motto.
It's never on the menu. It's an off menu item you have to order.
Absolutely.
You know you've made it when
and
you
Greg's
can go to a restaurant.
Himself, so it's perfect.
So it all works out.
Mike Wiegand and Greg Brown, thank you guys for coming down this morning.
Thanks for having us down, and thanks for supporting Guns and Hoses.
Remember, backstoppers.org for donations.
Yep, that's true. Backstoppers.org, STLGunsAndHoses.org as well is another good website. Coming up, we'll talk to former Congressman Trey Gowdy. Stay tuned. All right, so much going on in the country right now, and we are honored to have a Fox News host and former Congressman Trey Gowdy on the phone with us this morning. He's got a new book out. We'll get to all that here in a few minutes. But Congressman, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you are.
We're doing fine. Thank you. You know, it's a small world. I used to work at WYFF-TV in Greenville, South Carolina, and used to interview when I was there a young defense attorney named Lindsey Graham. before he ran for Congress.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you had to do that, and I hope you found a really good therapist to help you get over it.
We used to go to the Lazy Islander just outside of Clemson there and have drinks after after some of the trials that he would conduct.
Now, that part I believe. the Lindsay drinking, you sure it was after trial and not during trial?
No, it was after court was out, for sure. For sure.
Well, we miss you in the upstate. We'd love to have you back.
Well, I appreciate that. I see Carol Goldsmith is still there, I believe, and Jane Robolo is back at WYFF.
Yes, Jane's there. Her husband, Mario, Nigel is there.
Oh, wow.
YFF has a really big footprint. Now, I live in Spartanburg, but obviously I was born in Greenville.
Okay, so you're over there by the Gaffney Peach then, right?
I'm close to the Gaffney Peach, yes, with House of Cards.
Yep, made famous in House of Cards, if anybody watched that. I love the upstate. We were just there this summer, and it's still beautiful. It's grown so much since I worked there all those years ago.
Unbelievable. Thanks to BMW and the late Carol Campbell, it kind of put us on the path.
Broke that story, in fact. I helped break that story when BMW was about to put a plant up there. It was the best kept secret in town, and we were working at YFF when that happened. So a lot has changed. That's off the subject here, though. We got a lot going on, and I want to get to the book here in just a minute. But I listened to your interview yesterday with Annie Fry, our midday host, and I know you were addressing this situation in Minneapolis. And I mean, there are just no words for any of us at the tragedy those parents in that community is going through. And immediately, of course, the mayor up there, Jacob Fry, the governor, Ilhan Omar, they all want to turn and point to the gun. And that's been the subject of a lot of debate.
Yeah, it always is. And my general rule is let's let the funerals take place. Let's let the families grieve. You know, most people can't even name the victims. That's what's so sad about the state of crime is, and I refuse to call the names of the shooters. And some other people are beginning to not do that, too, and not publish the manifestos. I mean, we need to know to the extent you can ever understand the mind of what could motivate someone. But truth be told, you and I will never understand how someone could target the most innocent among us. So really in frustration, you have two choices. You can kind of track the shooter and try to figure that out, or you can track how someone that in hindsight, we probably all agree should not ever have possession of firearms, but yet lawfully gained them. And that's the balance. And look, there are passions on both sides. I managed on Wednesday to make the whole world mad. I made reference to Jesus, which made the left mad. And as a former gun prosecutor, and I'm one of the few that actually spent his life trying to keep people who aren't supposed to have guns from getting them, with my thought process being, yes, I was a murder prosecutor, but someone's already dead at that point. My goal is to stop the killing. So how can we do that? And also, look, I got a friend that has 3,000 firearms, literally 3,000. I do not worry one bit about him. You mentioned Lindsey Graham. Lindsey has an AR-15. I'm more worried about some people with a pair of scissors or a plastic fork than I am Lindsey Graham with an AR-15. So we do have to focus on the individuals and how, like, people who are clearly mentally ill but not adjudicated mentally ill can gain possession of firearms. And passions run high, but here's what I think is, I'm trying to look for commonality, the order I get in life. I think we all agree that we would like to see no more tiny caskets. None.
Agreed.
I think we can all agree on that.
Well, I do agree on that. And then, you know, when it comes to this issue of mental health, I've said all along, since going back to Sandy Hook, what has changed since then? You had a kid that was on psychiatric drugs. His mother clearly knew he had a problem. She still introduced him to guns. He ends up killing her, taking her gun and shooting up a school, the soft underbelly there, where we don't protect them well enough. There's so many different ways to approach this, but we got to figure out a way to make sure that our system, including due process, can report people like this so that they're not allowed to go in and buy guns. And that's the line everybody's walking right now, right?
It's a hard line, and passions run deep on it, and I welcome the critiques because, number one, I grew up with three sisters, so I got thick skin.
Yes.
But if we have a dialogue about how to do what you just said, the law-abiding people who would never hurt anyone are always inconvenienced by statutes and regulations. Meanwhile, people who don't care about any of our statutes or criminal laws are willing to break all of them. They're the ones that seemingly are unaffected. I'm looking for a way to kind of prioritize the most fundamental right of all. So we mentioned the Second Amendment. We mentioned the First Amendment. You know, this was a religious school. We can't dictate to them that they have armed guards because it's a private school. But the most fundamental right of all to me is the right to stay alive. And look, Trump is proving that in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bipartisan. We want to stay alive. So how do we kind of weigh and balance, you know, our freedoms that we enjoy this country with the ultimate freedom, which is to see your 11th birthday?
Yeah, it's a great point. Trey Gowdy, our guest, former congressman, see him on Fox News, listen to his podcast. And you have a book out, and I know this is part of the Fox News book series, but it's the first fiction title. Was that your idea, using your experience as a prosecutor?
Well, I mean, this book has been in my head for a decade, but it was going to remain in my head, which is where most of my ideas remain. But my boss, Suzanne Scott, the big boss at Fox, I was meeting with her, and we were talking about books and crime, and she knows what I used to do. And she said, why don't you write a fiction book? And I said, well, because I'm not Chekhov. I'm not Tolstoy. I'm not John Grisham. And she said, try. So I wrote it, and I actually, truth be told, if you can keep a secret, I'd rather write than anything else I do. It was my favorite thing to do, but that doesn't mean you're good at it. Just because you like it doesn't mean you're good at it. So I put pen to paper, and we had some good editors and a great collaborator, and you know, and it is out. And I would tell people the same thing I told them Wednesday when they, you know, were not 100% crazy about what I said or did. I want to get better. This is my first, I've written three nonfiction books, but this is my first fiction book, and it's a far different genre.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be bad at something. I want to get better at it. I mean, people who have read it have been really kind. They've, you know, I don't think anybody's going to guess the killer. I'd be shocked if you figured the killer out. So there's a lot of sleight of hand. I'm also fascinated by the psychology of what, like, I know what being a murder prosecutor did to me. I know the toll it took on my faith. Just to be quite candid about it. It wrecks your soul. So I wanted to give an account of that, but not with the real life grief. So I fictionalized the murder.
Well, the book is called The Color of Death. And I would imagine, as being a, you know, sort of black and white, these are the facts prosecutor, making stuff up was probably a little more of a challenge, wasn't it?
Well, the good news is nobody fact checks you.
Oh, that's there you go. Exactly.
No one calls you and says you got that wrong. I borrowed, actually. I don't know. You may have left the upstate by this time, but we actually had a beautiful young mom killed in a beauty salon, and it went unsolved for a decade. And that was kind of the spine or the backbone of this now fictional novel. I mean, I changed every other aspect of the crime, but it was a way for me to honor Dana Satterfield, which was a real case that I prosecuted. It's been on Forensic Files and all the other crime shares. It took us a decade, and I can still remember to this day where I was when the sheriff called me and said, I think we know who killed Dana, because 48 hours is the magic window, not 10 years. But we did solve it, and the jury came back in 14 minutes with a guilty verdict.
Well, Trey Gowdy, we
We enjoy watching you on Fox and appreciate the fact that you still live there in the upstate, beautiful part of the country. The book is called The Color of Death. It's available now, I assume, on Amazon and everywhere you get your books, right?
I think it sold out last night, but they re-upped it. So it's everywhere now, but there was a brief fleeting moment of terror when Amazon said it'll come to you in October. But we have fixed that issue, so thank you to everybody that got it. And I'm going to propose a trade. We're going to trade Lindsey Graham and get you back to the upstate.
You're trying to get rid of Lindsey, is that it?
That's funny. Well, he owes me $30 the last time we played golf. I want to get rid of him.
Here's the better story for you, and I've got a minute here. Since it's my show, I'm going to take it. Lindsey Graham was an attorney working there in Clemson, somewhere. I mean, that or Oconee County. Oconee or Pickens County, I can't remember.
Pickens.
And I was dating an Anderson Independent newspaper reporter who ended up being my wife. And after she and I would both cover his trials. And the day after I proposed to her, because we kind of kept it secret, Lindsey asked her out on a date. So I robbed him of a potential wife there. See, I stole her away.
You saved her life. Can you imagine living with Lindsey Graham? You know what? He's never found anyone that loved him as much as he loved himself, so he never got married.
That's funny. Oh, Trey Gowdy, great having you on. Thank you.
Likewise. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care of yourself. That's funny. I always enjoy finding somebody that appreciates my Lindsey Graham story as much as I do. All right, quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Minute. Hey, come back to me before I get in trouble here. I was trying to find the interview I thought I saved, this interview with the guy from Cracker Barrel. He went on TV and he just absolutely blasted the changes they made. There it is. Well, I knew I would find it. I put it in here under his name. The guy's name is Tommy Howe, and I didn't remember that's what his name was until I just looked in my file and saw it. This was his immediate reaction when they asked him what he thought about the changes that the lady made. He's 93 years old, bear in mind.
Oh, that's crazy. That's nothing. That's a bland nothing. It's pitiful.
It's nothing. It's pitiful, he said. He's 93. He helped found, he was one of the co-founders of Cracker Barrel back in 1969 with, all the country shtick and the country food. And I'm reading some of the comments on the story, and everybody's agreeing that they feel like over the years, maybe the quality of the food has changed a little bit. The store never changed. I mean, the red, white, and blue flags and shirts, and every store had carried gear for its local college or university, and it was just unique. It was just my wife is not crazy about that type of food, but she always enjoyed going there because she knows that I love it, my kids love it, and she could always shop in the store, right, and find something. For the kids or the grandkids or some candy she liked or something like that. It was always there. And now they were going to change all of that. And then there was an outcry, and obviously you know the story by now. Go woke, go broke. They lost like $100 million in no time, and suddenly they're back to the old logo at the very least. Now, well, they had only made remodeling to a portion of the stores. Does that continue or not? Because it strikes me that If you're going to change one of the things, you should probably change them both back. But here is Tommy Howe, the 93-year-old. Here's the full bite with the founder on this.
Pitiful.
Do you think she knows the story of Cracker Barrel?
I don't think so. I heard she was a Taco Bell. But what's Taco Bell know about a Cracker Barrel? And country food. And the food is something that you need to work on. Spending $700 million to do that is all I've been doing. I'm just throwing money out the street.
You just throw money out on the street. Somebody on the story this morning was saying that they ought to bring that guy back as the CEO of Cracker Barrel. I'm like, listen, he's 93 years old. I mean, they might be able to use his common sense on the board, but I don't get the impression from the story that he's still got any role in the company. So he probably took his money and ran a long time ago. The timing might have been good. I hate that happened for a couple of reasons. I'm happy that a lesson was learned, quite frankly, maybe by corporate America. I hate it, though, because one of my friends works there in the chain, and I'm sure it hurt his bottom line, right? I don't know if he has any stock options or not in Cracker Barrel. He's in management with them at the store level, so I don't know how that works. I reached out to him, and he thought the whole thing was blown out of proportion, quite frankly. But still, $100 million is $100 million. There's no way around that. All right. That's going to do it for us today. We've got Monday off, of course, because it's the Labor Day weekend. And, you know, when your company says, hey, you don't have to work, you generally don't work, right? Isn't that, Ethan? You good with that, Ethan? You want to come in Monday?
I mean, yeah, I'm good with it.
They're good. I thought so. I thought so.
Fun fact, though, they have Kim St. Ange on the schedule.
Do they really? That'll be interesting. I bet she doesn't even know that. That's fascinating. No, Kim is not coming back for weeks, however long her maternity leave is. And Dan Buck will be back with us next week, obviously not Monday, but he'll be back with us, I think, starting on Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit more about that anniversary they got coming up. I think it's a 30-year anniversary over at Show Me St. Louis, where he was the original host. And I just watched an interview with him from that Channel 5 put out as a tease, where he broke down in tears talking about it being one of the he said the last person in St. Louis to interview Jack Buck before he passed away. So we'll be talking all about that with Dan when he's back here on Tuesday. And we hope you have a great long holiday weekend. Enjoy this weather. For whatever your plans are, we'll get Brian the Kilmeade Show up here next. I assume it's Kilmeade in today, although Griff Jenkins was filling in for him on Fox and Friends. We will see about that. Of course, Annie and Mark will be here, and I'll see you back here on Tuesday morning. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.